Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we know when that promise was given by the messenger to Mary, it was not an occasion that was loud and boisterous or tremendously emotional as people count emotion today, and especially in worship toward you, but it was in calmness of wonderment and desire to understand and desire to be under the influence and power of the Holy Spirit, desirous to carry out the will of God, to be a part of that will in human flesh. And that's where we are this morning, Lord, in your presence. We desire that we be quiet and calm, and we do not give way to anything, Lord, but the sincere desire to be a part of that word and see it fulfilled in us, so that it might be truly said that all things are now possible with you and with us, because you are here, we receiving the full benefits of whatever promises for the hour, which we know all things are now being entirely fulfilled and brought to the perfect climax, all wrought up in him from whom we are and with whom we have to do. And we appreciate that. May we not be remiss in anything, the attitudes of our heart and mind, so our doctrine is completely right and our spirits are completely right, have right heart toward you, Lord, which we know to be the thing that really counts. Help us to reconcile all these things, Lord. Keep them in the right place, in the right order. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're on number 10, I believe it is, a leadership, and because we had and it's sort of an interpolation on Sunday morning, we'll go back to where we were on Saturday, which we did not even get moving into literally the new material we wanted to see. So we'll recap that, and we recalled it in our last study, which would be the study before even last Saturday. We read where Brother Branham said that the rich young merchant prince, after he confronted Jesus and expressed his desire for eternal life, rejected the person of eternal life, even God, indwelling human flesh. Now, if that is a true alpha of a true omega, Brother Branham, in preaching his last sermon, literally to the world, to the last group of people who received him, and they only because of Carl Williams, he is telling them that what is happening in the world at that particular time, this time, is what happened previously, and that William Branham stands there totally representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and they stand there totally representing the businessmen or the world. And remember, he said it's a golden calf scheme. He equated everything to that particular group of people, which were now representative, not of Pentecost, but of only Pentecost, but the Laodicean church movement, which had now gone to seed and death under gifts and had gotten into Rome. The Catholics are full of it, Lutherans, Methodists, Presbyterians, every single one from the decadent dead church of Rome through the justification group to the sanctification group to the restoration of gifts group. They all stood there condemned. Now that sounds as though this were far-fetched. But when you realize the whole world stood condemned before Noah, the whole world stood condemned before Moses, the world stood condemned before Jesus, the world stood condemned before Paul, then it is not an exaggerated stretch of the imagination, if we even wish to put it in that category, which is not so. This is the truth. It would not even be a stretch of our imagination to come to this conclusion. Is it possible that this will repeat? Could it be possible there will be a prophet? Well, if you believe anything about the word of God in Malachi, you know this is going to happen sometime, somewhere to the whole world. Whether we got it or not, someone's going to get it, because after Elijah, the world burns. And only 8 people percentage-wise make the ark, so this is what we are looking at. This is a definitive statement I have made 3 times in a row now, and I'm elaborating, and I'm putting it down against every single living person by the grace of God, my hand raised toward heaven, the Bible open before me. I will meet them at the white throne, right or wrong. Do what you want about it. I'm not against anybody here. I'm just saying this is definitive. This is definitive. There's not going to be any way you can escape this. Now, if Scripture can change, and this is not a true omega, an alpha and omega do not hold, and if they do not hold, then this book's a lie. This book is a lie, a plumb lie, because God could sow oats and get wheat. And the serpent can sow serpent seed and get sheep. Now we're nailing it down. People don't like things nailed down. This is why Lee Dale's got the wrong spirit. Well, it's very strange he's got the truth, but he's got the wrong spirit. If I have the true words of the judge, and I am true to those words, then I do not have a wrong spirit. Many times the manner in which I present it may be overheated. I'll answer for it. You won't. But I will not answer for having led you astray. Now let us go further. This very excellent young man could not and did not accept the person of the prophet Christ. Now, we're not talking about the prophet William Branham, we're talking about the prophet Christ. And here again is where so many people are remiss. They do not make Jesus the prophet. They make him God. They make him the Son of God, which he is. But they forget that this is not the place where God, through Jesus Christ, created the world. This is God through prophet, Son of God, is now standing before the world and his own people, declaring himself truly, so that if anybody is blind, they have blinded themselves. It is not God who did the blinding, although there is scripture concerning God doing blinding. But this is not it. It's Satan has blinded their eyes to the truth, but God has thoroughly, through Jesus Christ, his own Son, now manifest in human flesh, not as Michael, not as that light, that form which was his form or theophonic form, word, body, spirit, body, his manifestation through which God worked in creation. No. This is now in human flesh where they killed the prophet, who, if they had not killed him, could have led them into a millennium or eras, which were what they were desiring but could never achieve. And could they achieve it without this one being the blood of God and receiving complete regeneration and leading of the Holy Spirit, from which they would not err? They would only have gone into greater and deeper sin. And you say, why? Because let me tell you flat, the blessings of God, without the true word of God being manifested in those people, having desired it, there's only one thing can happen to them, that is a leanness of soul. And in a leanness of soul, where the true decisions are made, you make far more worse decisions than you'd have made without it. Did you follow what I said? Get the tape and listen again. Because when God gives people the desire of their souls, their lusts, their flesh in their own wants, they get lean of soul. And there never was a leaner of soul bunch of people come forth than under the restoration of gifts and the tremendous ministry that Brother Branham had, and that people took and ran with, until the percentage, 8 people making the ark. Now, he could not fathom the reality of God dealing with man in and through another man, especially outside his own background religion. He didn't even know, though it was in the scripture there for him to know, that Messiah would be a prophet like unto Moses. That the earmarks would be there, and what followed would be God's business through the prophet. And whether Israel wanted it or not, or liked it or not, or concurred or not, was beside the point. And a true seed would say, this is God. And what comes forth, I must, against my own desires, my own intellect, I must, not like Adam fail and others fail, but I must receive exactly what he said, and this is my life. And they said, forget it. Did you hear what I just said? You better get the tape to make sure you get the preamble. He had been entirely misformed and misled relative to Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 22, which is connected in Moses' case to Numbers 12, God not appearing to prophets in dreams and in visions, but apparently in an actual form and face to face, even as with Moses. They had forgotten the scripture concerning Messiah, which would be God with them. In fact, they weren't even interested. They took their own ideas. They're still doing it. So is the church. And they turned down God. He had been misinformed then concerning Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 22. Even as the businessmen, the self-proclaimed leaders, and evidently the best manifested of the hour, even as today just about or more than 99 and 99 100% of Christianity has missed Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, as being Mark 16 or 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14 concerning gifts, and then touting that lovely spirit of love, so-called, not even knowing that love is God in his own nature, being the Holy Spirit. You turn down 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. Don't even talk to me about love. Because I won't listen to you. To me, you're an infidel. Unless you're a foolish virgin. If you're a foolish virgin, it's not so bad. I'm up at the white throne. And you're not even like the preacher who said, if I come and preach, if I don't do you any good, I sure won't do you any harm. Because the foolish virgin have to do good. Because they're commended for the good things they do. They do not, you do not put yourself in neutral, my brother, my sister, and think you can sit on a fence this morning or any other morning and jump. If so be, you come to the place where you can jump. Can't do it. Or some other manifestation of Christianity such as fruitage. Oh, how they go to that. How they go to that when anybody knows a real true Hindu can put any Christian to shame 14 different hours out of 12. Or 28 out of 24. Whereas Brother Branham said unity in Christian Science can wump up more love. Like a kind old priest. Because you see, if you stand for the Word of God the way you know it is, and you dare to come against the people out there, oh, you have a filthy spirit. Oh, yes, 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 you do. You people are the rottenest scum of the earth. Meanest, cruddiest. Yet when they come here, they have to admit they find something in hospitality, generosity, empathy, and love they don't find other places. How come? I realize a chicken gizzard, under certain conditions, could contain diamonds. But I never heard the Bible call anybody a chicken gizzard. I've heard them called vessels of clay. And clay is unstable. rock is not unstable. Yet you can take clay under great pressure and turn it into stone like limestone, sandstone. Which could possibly erode under certain conditions, but usually not thoroughly. It shows the stability. God ordained that. That's God's business. According to Brother Branham, the fact of the matter is Deuteronomy 18 and Hebrews 13 is actually one with John 1 and 1. According to how God manifested himself outside of the tent of Abraham and Sarah, where the last sign that God did before he went away and the promised son must come in the interim, where Sarah and Abraham must be changed in order to bring forth that promised one in flesh, was the sign where he stood there with the back to the tent and he read Sarah's heart and told her all about it. And notice what it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. God himself became flesh. What was the mystery thereof? The mystery is in the book of Isaiah, particularly from the Old Testament, with the full revelation in Matthew of how it took place. Now watch what it says. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And it told you how God spread his glory and showed his glory. It was through the only begotten one. And if there had not been the only begotten one there, he could not have done it. He would not have done it. Do you understand what I'm saying? He would not have done it. Because he said in Deuteronomy 18, they have well said what they said. I'll never deal with the people again en masse. Never, never, never. It's all over. I'll use a prophet, just what they wanted. And when they wanted and got it, they turned it down. You say, how fortunate, Brother Bill. Back in those days, they believed in prophets. Today, we don't believe in prophets. So we're all right. We think the prophets are all finished in the Bible here. It's all over. So we conveniently say, oh, hallelujah, Brother Dale. This is what they call the plenary, the full edition. Nothing can be added, nothing can be taken, and we endorse it. So you go to God and you say, Lord God, this is the full Bible. I accept it. And he says, what is in my full Bible that you accept? Now hold it. I didn't bargain for that. Nobody could know the full Bible. Well, what do you accept then concerning the word for your hour? Oh, there is no special word for our hour. It is all there. We have it. Now, if you think I'm fooling and this is not the truth of the world, you have sat here for many years and got nothing from me. This is why we don't sit on a fence. This is why we know what we know, even if we know it wrong. We don't know it wrong. Now watch what it says here in 18. No man has seen God at any time. Not even the prophets. He appeared in a similitude. He used something to cover himself. The only begotten, which is in the bosom of the Father, which has the complete sanction and protection and the harboring where brothers, we have the complete sanction, harboring and protection, the same as Jesus. We don't fall short in one thing. And it says, he hath declared him. Let him forth by words, because even the act itself of showing that God is there or something is there. How do we know what is there? To whom is it attributed? What does it mean to us? Unless somebody can show us. There again, they don't believe. They say, well, I've got the Holy Ghost. Brother Bale, you're such a mean person in such error. You've just gone crazy with your thinking because after all, I have the Holy Ghost. Prove it. Prove it. By gifts, Judas was the devil and had gifts operating. By fruit, the kind old priest made Jesus look like a renegade, but he was serpent seed. Talk is not cheap. By your words, you're justified, declared righteous, or by your words, you're damned. You're judged and damned. To see this, we ought to go to the alpha of the principle and follow through, which we did in Genesis chapter 15. You notice we're going all over this carefully because you'll notice how everything, every time I take any notes I write down, they become more thoroughly amplified and clarified. So that's why we do this. But I feel definitely led to do this, or I just go charging ahead. And he said unto Abram, Genesis 15:13, know of a surety thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that's not theirs, and they'll serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. Will I judge? 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 What is God? Thank you. Has he changed? I want to ask you a question. Has he always been the judge? Did he manifest that he was judge before that 400 years, yes or no? Well, you could say yes and no, and you'd be wrong. It's no, we don't have a record. So therefore, he said, I will judge, I will sit back and not judge for 400 years. But when I do come as judge, you had better watch out. And you had better know that I am judge. People preach the presence and don't talk about the judge. You're wasting your time, whoever you are. And you that listen are being fooled completely. Judge. Look, in the final analysis, the white throne is set. The resurrection is complete. And the judge sits there and he separates the sheep, as it were, from the goats. Judge. What is the job of a judge? The job of a judge is to preside over the law. That is given by whoever is in authority, whether it be 1, 2, 3, 4, or 1,000. It is no longer the consensus of many minds. It is now the consensus in the mind of one, whether it be from the thoughts of many or not, it is the distillation in the mind of one. That's what a judge is all about. Now, God never asked Adam and Eve what they thought. He put them there and told them what to think, and he said, this is it. And as a man who phoned me the other night, and I was simply thrilled by what he said. You know what he said? He said, the message of the hour was in the Garden of Eden, in their hour. That was the message of the hour. Don't you dare take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, now look at in knowledge and evil, you have a choice. And he said, don't let your soul, because of your body and your spirit, move in that direction. Stay single. And the first thing God came down, he said, where are you? They said, we're hiding. Why are you hiding? Well, we're naked. Who said you were naked? God never said they were naked. The Word of God simply says they were naked and they were not ashamed. In other words, there was no problem at all. Everything in thorough exposure, no problem. And people think they can get away with exposing themselves, there's no problem. There's a problem because it wasn't there in the garden, the knowledge of good and evil, but now it is here. So that was the message of the hour back there. Now listen, he said, I'm going to judge them afterward, and they'll come up with great abundance, which they did. Thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation. At that time, every generation was 100 years. In the fourth generation, they'll come hither again, and the iniquity of the Amorites, for the iniquity of the Amorites are not yet filled. So therefore, he's going to judge two at one time, get rid of the Amorites. He didn't tell them how he's going to do it. He said they were supposed to do it. And they got trapped in their folly. All right. With that, you see, we went to Exodus, the third chapter, to see what happens. How is it going to be done? He said, I'm the judge. I'm going to come down. I'm going to do so-and-so. I'm going to lead them forth. Now watch what he says in the third chapter, 7-10. And the Lord said to Moses in the burning bush, I've surely seen the affliction of my people, which 400 years have gone by. They're down in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out of that land into a good land and a large, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Now you notice that this is a twofold statement by God when he didn't need to repeat himself. He repeats himself, making it doubly sure that God is aware. And he stands there as a judge in his awareness. So don't forget that. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said, just a minute. If I recall anything from my father Abraham, I recall that you said you would do it. Now, how come I'm involved? Now, this involvement, where God involves Moses, is the actual reason why people didn't know, but God was in it, as he himself said, that they would cry out at the delivering of the word around Mount Sinai, you talk to one person, he will talk to us. And God was getting it all ready where he would use a prophet from this point on, as he had done previously, but now that people would be under contract, under a covenant. So if they cut their own throats, that's their business. And on the other hand, if they sealed themselves in by accepting God's prophets, they're 100% with God. So he said, I'm going to do it by my prophet. Now, if you go to Matthew, the first chapter, which is the basic later on for Matthew 12, 21-23, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now that's his name. Didn't say that he was. That's his name. And names are given in order to let you know what the manifestation is going to be. For he shall save his people from their sins. He's the elder brother now, and Jehovah's Savior is going to be in him. That's why he's called an Emmanuel, because it's God with us. No virgin could bring forth God, let's face it, because God can't be born, God can't die. It's impossible. The minute God died, who's in control? You cannot become untenable in your thinking. All this was done that it might be fulfilled as spoken of the Lord. Now, spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Yeah. But except without the prophet, the Lord would not have spoken. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name God with us. Now, just a minute. Call his name Jesus, Jehovah Savior. Now he's God with us. That tells you exactly why you can call him Jehovah Savior, on the grounds that God is with him. Now, when that separation takes place, that God is no longer with him, in that sense of that union which took place in that life down there, you've got another situation. It's not that that situation shall ever change what was to be accomplished. But when the accomplishment of it is over, then it is over. That's the same as Brother Branham said when God was in Moses. Moses veiled God, he veiled the Word. But when the Word was over, Moses was just Moses. But before that, he was God to the people. So, all right. Let us not be confused. That when God left the flesh, he went back to the pillar of fire, and it was the pillar of fire, Jehovah Elohim, that came to Paul. But he said, who art thou? I'm Jesus, that's Jehovah's Savior, which is God. So we're looking at something. Now that's based on Isaiah, the 9th chapter, which I was delineating upon right at this moment, which we were talking about. I ask you a question. Do you think Almighty God the Father is in the Son right now? This is why people are all mixed up. He's not in the Son. He's right down here somewhere. I can't see him, but there's his picture. Either yes or no. Hey, you guys are screwing, aren't you, in that stupid church? You believe that junk? Me. That's all you're going to get from people in the world. This message is not to the world, to the bride. Forget the church. Forget the world. All right, 9 and 6. It says here, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, when is that going to be? When are all those titles fulfilled? When the Spirit that's in our midst, Jehovah Elohim, God, one God, Father of the Lord Jesus Christ in us, Creator of all, even though through the Son, that Spirit now in our midst becomes incarnate to us. We'll crown it King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That will be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David. The altogether lovely, the Rose of Sharon, maybe 420 names we know and 400 million we don't know. And that's when you're going to say all these things. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Brother Branham said, when will peace come? When the Prince of Peace comes. But who's in him? God. When he becomes incarnate to us, reincarnate. All right. There is no doubt in my mind that Brother Branham was also considering very positively and emphatically. John 12:44 to 50. Because he was there before the people. And he knew that he was a leader. He knew that he was God to the people. He knew no matter what they did, if they killed him, crucified him, spilled his blood down, denied him, did anything they possibly could, it could not change the fact. 12:44 to 50. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. Oh my. That's all. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. My mind. I am a light come into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. After salvation, what comes? Judgment. He that rejects me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Based on what? Vindication. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me the commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And Paul said, if any man thinks himself to be a prophet of spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I run and hear the commandments of God. Paul spoke just like Jesus. Deny me, deny the Christ, deny God. And let me tell you flat, there's coming a day when the world will be judged by my gospel. That's this hour of the appearing. And who appeared? The judge appeared. How come they sneer at the judge? Have you ever been in a court even fined for driving over the speed limit? I've had a couple of times I've been picked up. I just sent my card in. They don't take it anymore, so I just pay them cash if I had to. Nobody wants to stand before a judge because that's the time you got it, whether you deserve it or not. Now, this is a righteous judge. And they stand before him and sneer and scoff and laugh. And their short-haired gals with their long skirts and their short skirts and their slacks and their shorts and everything else and their faces all glued up like God knows what, darkening their eyes like a piece of dog meat because that's what Jezebel was. And the men going around loving it because it just means more and more filth. They sit there and laugh and scorn. Yet if you took them in an ordinary court, just for spitting on the sidewalk or jaywalking, and they stand before the judge, how do you think they feel? The majority are scared plumb to death. And yet there is no fear of God before their eyes when we meet him face to face, because that is face to face, whether you want to believe it or not, because every prophet has to face you and me for God. And if Jesus was not that prophet, even now, we wouldn't have a mediator or an intercessor. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting, eternal life. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said to me, so I speak, and I can't do otherwise, because no prophet can do otherwise, whether you want to believe it or not. Well, William Branham just got all puffed up. That was your trouble. Then Paul got all puffed up. That was his trouble. And it's a sense that John the Revelator ate too many hot peppers. Oh, what a gut ache he had to give him a stupid brain wave like that. God to the people. God to the people. Yes, here's the picture. This man, William Branham, who could make mistakes, who in ignorance or not ignorance could listen to his mother-in-law instead of God.
was God to the people. And he that received him, let's go right to the source, received God. We're not going to bypass the Son. No way you can. But let's go right to the source. That's not the Son of God, the only begotten one. Let's face it. That's God himself, who became a father. John 13, 19 to 20. Now I tell you, before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you may believe that I am. I am he. I am God. You may believe that I am God right now, even though I'm in a prophet and the prophet's talking. Truly, truly, I send you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me, and he that receives me receiveth him that sent me. So therefore, in receiving the prophet, you do not bypass the Son. That's the way you come through the Son. Yeah. You don't come through the Son except through the Word. Well, I know everybody thinks you can. Oh, the Word really doesn't matter. Like one said, oh, Brother Bale, she said, the trouble is, they're all fighting about the Word. If they just come around Jesus. I said, sister, that's the trouble. See, she hung herself and cut her own throat with her own tongue. You see, if you've got a tongue like a razor blade or a serrated knife or a sword, you will cut your throat from the inside out. Now, one day you'll know that you bled to death. Although God can see it now. You can destroy yourself. And they call it humility. Yes. They call it humility. Poor Brother Branham, he got so puffed up. Oh, Brother Branham didn't get half the royal treatment Isaiah got. He got so puffed up, they cut him to pieces. Paul got so puffed up, they cut off his head. Oh, yes. Those stupid jerks. Everyone an idiot. Yeah. Yeah. Who needs this? When he referred to Luther and Wesley, and of course also himself, born to be a leader, he was thinking of these scriptures without a doubt. And it must be remembered that when it came time to speak of himself, he merely mentioned himself as one set apart and different from the reformers, as in his day he was responsible for what he called turning the corner in referring to his part in building the body of Christ by the Word, which must be perfectly restored, as in 1 Corinthians 3 and 11. Let's go find out about this perfect Word. 3 and 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And he says, according to the grace of God which is given to me, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. I have laid the foundation, and it must be how you build, word upon word, word upon word, word upon word. For nothing will be in there but Christ, the revealed Word. In other words, every single bride member of Christ is baptized into the body of Christ. And if you are a member of Christ, then you are a member of the anointing. You are a member of the anointed one. You are a member of the true Messiah, because Christos and Messiah is the same word. One's Greek and one's Hebrew. You are placed in there. So now you're upon the right foundation. And there's only one foundation. And that is it, as Paul said. So we see it in there. Now, let's go to 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, the second chapter, we read 1 to 8, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, you may grow thereby. In other words, there's a group of people that have put aside all of these things, which is malice, that's hatred, all guile, which is a matter of trying to trick somebody, hypocrisy, trying to say what you are and you aren't, and envying. You don't like what the other fellow's got. You're jealous. And evil speaking, any old thing comes to your mind. As a newborn babe can't talk, all he wants is milk. You come together. If so be you tasted the Lord, his graces. Now, if you tasted him and you find his grace, you'll want to keep tasting. If you don't, you'll want to get out. To whom coming as unto a living stone, watch, disallowed of men, but chosen and precious of God, you also as lively stones are built up to a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifice up to God. In other words, what Christ was, we are. How he was treated, we are. What he is, we are. What he will be, we will be. You can't change it. What is it? Part of the great temple of God. Part of the great family of God. Wherefore also is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, serpent seed. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same has become the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word. They don't stumble at the acts. They don't stumble at the goodness of God. They don't stumble at mercy. They don't stumble at any of these things. They stumble at the word. They can't take it. Now, when Paul laid the foundation, he laid it through the gospel which God gave him, and you can't change it. So it's going to be Paul's gospel all the way to the top because God gave it to him. A complete Gentile church built upon a platform, as Brother Branham said, from 33 and a half to 53, except roughly 21 years, 20 years in there, like the silence in heaven, 20 years. We're under your podium. You are a chosen priesthood, a royal generation, and so on and so forth. Now, with that, you go to the end of it. We started with the beginning in Corinthians. We went to what Peter said, from the cornerstone to the capstone, which Paul speaks of in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Verse 14, that you henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. After the fivefold ministry comes, you're going to be tossed to and fro regardless until the end time, and God will still have a fivefold ministry to see that you're no longer tossed to and fro, as it was in the days of Paul, which absolutely is Paul the prophet apostle. With a fivefold ministry. With every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But holding the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. How do you hold the truth except in love, which is the Holy Ghost? There's your love again, Brother Branham said. God is love. And he said, 1 Corinthians 13, love is the Holy Ghost. So are you going to believe Brother Branham? Or are you going to believe yourself? You're going to believe some idiots out there. Oh, love is the evidence of the baptism, says the Baptist. Hogwash. What love have the Baptists got? What love has anybody got? Turn down the word of a prophet, turning down Jesus, turning down God. Well, hey, that's what the Bible says. Oh, but we don't have prophets, Brother Bill. That's right, they don't have prophets. They got a bunch of false teachers. Sure. Because they lead to a wrong conclusion. But holding the truth in love by the Holy Ghost may grow up unto him in all things. Not into him, it's unto him. They're already in him. Which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, which maketh increase of the body unto edifying itself in love. Boy, that's a tongue twister and a mouthful for a Philadelphia lawyer. You could read that and be in cloud number 9 and go sailing right past heaven and drop down into hell. Because once you leave the gravitational pull of heaven, you got the gravitational pull of hell, right? Make up your mind. Heavenly places, Brother Branham said, is sitting like we are at an ear with this word. Amen. So I don't think it's very heavenly, Brother Bill. Well, that's your thoughts. I don't have any problem with that. You believe what you want. I believe what I want. I consider this is the closest thing there is. Or I'd be going someplace else. Now it says the whole body fitly joined together. That's from the foundation Paul laid, and all through all the centuries. And it said joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied. In other words, there's a going on and on and on. In other words, there's a hangover or a growing up. Even though the light diminishes and they lose a tremendous amount of truth, until the end time it seems there's only air, blackness, 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 there is a little light there. And that little light was the restoration of gifts. And Brother Branham came at that time to take it on, point out the air, bring them right back to the truth of justification, sanctification, baptism, baptized with the Holy Ghost himself. And the best any age can place, and that's you and me, is bright as brotherly kindness, which is sticky fish hooks on your elbows. But love is here, God himself, who looks down and said, I have said it. That's where Paul says, God says I'm righteous. Who dares condemn me? God said I'm righteous. Never mind anybody else that. They said, oh, leave Baal serpent seed and you people here because you got education, you just a mental bunch of jerks and everything else. How come the group that said that recently stood up there in Canada and they said, well, I think the Jesus is comatose. And other fellows, well, I think maybe the body went back to the dust. So you hire a lawyer that sits in the courtroom and the judge it. You the judge it too? Ow! So you're not representing the client. Ow! Jesus is no less to his Father in this hour than he was the hour he took his place on the mercy seat. And nobody but nobody can come to God except through him and be kept by him, because that's what God said. Amen. And this is where you get the institutionalization of true worship, which we'll really begin to see in the temple in the millennium. And if that ain't progressive sanctification, my name is mud. I just can't wait, hopefully, to glorify God a little bit. And I got my hopes on the millennium, when I'll be changed. Yeah. I was to fuss about Moses 40 years to crud around him, 40 years to make, you know, to learn something, and 40 years to do good. I'm Moses' age, ain't doing good even now. I ain't got 40 years to go, but I got a whole 1,000, bless God. And then on top of that, I know people don't like what I preach, but I do, so I figure it's in the Word of God, or sure wouldn't preach it. Now, listen in here. We're talking now about coming up to the very apex, the very finishing. We're talking about now going to New Jerusalem, as we're promised. And let's go to 1 Corinthians now, just to duck back here, so we can see something I'm talking about. Foundation to the capstone. And in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, this is the New Testament coming into the pyramid. 1-5, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now, I didn't come just shutting my mouth off and being brilliant and talking with wisdom. I never came that way. See? It wasn't excellent speech. For I determined not to know anything among you save Christ and him crucified. And I was in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Notice he's repeating himself, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith would be based upon vindication, that I am that prophet of God and I am preaching that truth that you need. Now listen carefully. Listen carefully. I determined to know nothing among you save Christ and him crucified. Does that mean that Paul said Jesus died and that took care of it? Jesus died and he is dead. Jesus died, and it's all over as far as he is concerned. That's it. Now, no, no. They begin thinking that's what Paul preached over here in 1 Corinthians 15. And he said, if we have hope in this life only, and there's no resurrection, we are of all men most miserable. Because if God did not raise Christ, we will not be raised. Look at the mess we're in. So listen, based on the death of Jesus, which was the cleansing of the blood, and the reception of Almighty God taking that and saying, this is it, wherein God was satisfied. As the old theologians would preach sermons, the satisfaction of God, God was satisfied. Jesus was raised from the dead, sending back the Holy Spirit, God now in spirit form, not in the body, proving the resurrection of Jesus Christ, brought forth these tremendous miracles, proving the acceptation of God. In the beginning, the foundation. Now, hold your thought and go back over this tape so you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Now we go to Ephesians. In the first chapter, we read how that this was done everything to the bride through Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 13, of whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, which Paul preached, vindicated, in whom after you believed, you received that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment, the proof of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession of the praise of glory, which is the resurrection. Now, wherefore, I also, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus, love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks, make mention of our prayers. Now watch, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him. I thought they had it. I thought they had it. Well, they did for that hour. That was the foundation. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what's the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the Lord's inheritance in the saints, and what is exceeding great is his power to us who believe, according to working his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ who raised him from the dead. Hold it, that which he raised in, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, is where Paul built the platform, the foundation. Yes, you understand what I'm saying? Vindication, proving that Jesus was raised from the dead by God. God then began to do in Paul the very works that he did in the form of Jesus Christ and scattered gifts amongst the rest, but they weren't prophets. Now at the end time, so there'll be a resurrection of the entire bride. The same spirit of wisdom that Paul speaks of over here, I never came in my own wisdom. I came in his wisdom, proving that in that age. He's coming back the same spirit to prove in this age. Vindication. That it's all over, bride's going to get out of here. Alpha's Omega. Now, if this is not getting clearer and clearer, after 10 years, ain't no hope for none of us. Here's where I said, and I say again, I get up here and start screaming and running. And Ann Clausen said, well, Lee, I'd have followed you. But she said, I guess people would have just looked anyway. And I said, well, we shouldn't do that anyway, because people just get excited and then they forget what's going on. In the Word, hey, I don't want anybody screaming and shouting except inside. That stimulation grabs a hold from the mind to the heart, goes to the spirit. And said, that's it, because this is it. Word of God distinctly says, what a man seeth, doth he yet hope for? Hear what it said? The scripture said, what a man seeth, doth he yet hope for? Now abides faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but hope is earnest expectation. And so when your faith goes to hope, your earnest expectation is there, you see it, then do you look for it? No! Then this was not there. Understand what I'm saying? Ephesians 1, 17 to 21 was not there at the time of Paul. And he said, look for it. you church at the end time. Now, if the pillar of fire brought it then to a man, and that's God's order, how's it going to come at the end time? Oh, us Pentecostals with the gifts and us businessmen, hallelujah. With their golden calf skin? I don't believe it. Wait now, you may know this. And when you know it, now let's get this flat. When Paul preached the resurrection, in the power of the resurrection, it was laying a foundation, and nobody could taste the resurrection power. All they could do was see it, because the resurrection was not for that hour. But now that the resurrection is for this hour, that's a different thing entirely. You are not seeing simply Jesus Christ proven to be raised from the dead. You are seeing now what is going to raise you and put him up there with him, which was not 2,000 years ago. So the same thing which he wrought in Christ 2,000 years ago, when he raised him from the dead, and God set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, every name that is named in this world and the world to come, put all things under his feet and came the head of all things, church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fill all in all. And filling all in all is Ephesians the 4th chapter. That's how it's done. You got to get back to the original, where the bride is no longer pregnant through the mind, and then down in the soul with a false creed or a false dogma, but its word all the way through, right to the resurrection. His ministry to the bride would conclude the gospel to the Gentiles and actually bring back Jesus the Christ, the Lamb of God. That's William Branham's. So we know that in this hour, the very giver of eternal life, Jehovah Elohim, God himself, known as God the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father, sure, is by the end time prophet manifested in human flesh. Or as another occasion, Brother Branham said, the prophet is the word of God manifested in human flesh. Oh, what a horrible thing to say. Oh, my, pity, the man puffed up, ignorant Kentucky hillbilly. Oh, God. Now, us great men, we know different. Boy, if that isn't humility. I never heard of it. Here's a man can read every thought. You couldn't hide if you tried. Can say, thus saith the Lord. Proving if God has any integrity and not a liar, under any condition, he cannot back that man's word unless that man's word is God's word. You know something? They don't even think of that. You know where they go? They go to Deuteronomy 13 and say, ha ha, a prophet can give a lying sign and wonder to entice people away. That's William Branham. Ha ha, we're not fools. Ha ha. Why didn't you read Deuteronomy 18 the way it's written? I'm going to tell you something. God's going to have the last laugh. In fact, the Bible says he laughs in derision. Oh, God wouldn't do that. He said he would. He said he would. Our Lord, you are fairer eyes than to ever do a thing like that. Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't believe them. I can't believe them. This is not an unscriptural or overemphasized scripture when one realizes that the bride or true church is the body of Christ. What would be wrong with the prophet being the manifested word of God in his hour? When we are told the bride of Christ, and of course she's been undressed by preachers like me so Shelley can come along and dress her right. And he discerns. Well, that's interesting. Need I say more? 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and verse 19. What? Know ye not your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That tells you, if you just listen to what I've been preaching over the last few times, you understand right here that you got the Holy Ghost because the blood was applied.
In other words, brother, sister, if you were bought with that price, you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost and be a member of Christ. And notice it says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Certainly you should. Why? Because of what's in the soul now, giving it the proper nature. So now compare that with 1 Corinthians chapter 14, which I've already quoted, 37, 36, 37. What came the word of God out from among, from you, or came it from you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I vindicated Apostle Paul and prophet, writer the commandments of the Lord. He said, if you can say you're full of the Holy Ghost, and you have become heir to the blood and the covenant of Almighty God confirmed in you, what about me who brought you that word? Then if you are the temple of God, what about me then in proportion? Huh? Huh? Oh, come on. Come on. What about the prophet? He's got to be God to the people. Because he's been vindicated to God, that he's bringing the word of God. If you and I are legates, if you and I are witnesses, if you and I are ambassadors, if you are little messiahs, as it were, if you and I are individual body of Jesus Christ, what about the man that God ordained to take precedence and lead the church? That's exactly why they got a pope today. Vicar means vicarious, means instead of, which means antichrist. You know, the minute people deny a prophet, they're antichrist. Yeah, they're antichrist. Sure, they are. They're against God. Sure. This being so, the prophet is truly God to her, the bride, as it says in Deuteronomy 18. And if she is to manifest God in her flesh, how much more is the prophet to manifest God in his flesh? It's only natural. Because of whom he who has much, much is required. Yeah, everything must come under the prophet. Now we're going back to page 21. How many minutes we got left? 20? We got a little bit of time. We'll take it this morning. Otherwise, we're never going to... Which is fine if we never finish this. This is great. This is great stuff. Now, Brother Branham here on page 21, which we were looking at, paragraph 144, we have turned a corner. Of course, we're looking toward heaven, which is an upward corner. In other words, we're on the ascendancy. This is the trip up. Rapture. Brother Branham turned the corner for the people and the rapture revelation, December the 4th, Yuma, Arizona, 1965. Right? That's what it was. The message came out of the West. A short, powerful message. But I'm not saying I'm interpreting Brother Branham 100% on that. But I'm going to tell you, if any short, powerful, finishing up message ever came out of the West, it came on the border of California, Yuma, Arizona, before he got to the graveyard of preachers. The graveyard of condemnation. Right? Just typing it. Don't take it too seriously. I'm not God. I'm not a prophet. I'm just looking at it. We turned a corner. We're looking toward heaven, watching for the coming, the cap on the pyramid. Now, why did he say capstone's already here? Because that's the Holy Spirit capping it all off, the Word, end time ministry. Now we're looking for him who will take his place on the top of the pyramid. That's the New Jerusalem bride. This is when he finishes. He's coming back. The church must be resurrected soon. And we must get ready. The prepared people must be made ready. As John the Baptist foreran the first coming, so your message foreruns the second coming. Let us please look at that. And it says about John the Baptist, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, he'll be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb, and many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God, not lots, but many. And he shall go, John shall go before the Lord God of Israel,
in the spirit and power of Elijah. And he did, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, in order to make ready a people prepared. They're already prepared. Now, what are prepared people? I'm glad you answered. What chapter is it? What book is it? Come on, yell it out. Oh, you come on. Please don't be afraid around me. Merciful heaven, you know it's over there in the book of Romans. All right. Here's what it said. What if God, willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endure the much long suffering, the vessel of the wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of wrath which he had prepared. So you're never going to get out of here, even though you are prepared by God, until you're made ready. Doesn't say until you are ready. Oh, no, nobody wants to die and get out of here. They're just hoping that maybe something will come along to make it nicer and easier. Forget it. Tain't so. You got to be made ready. Now, the point is, if God prepared her, who is he going to trust to make her ready? It'd be very stupid to trust anybody but yourself. So therefore, when John came, God had to be there. And remember, John was born 3 months ahead of Jesus. And God never came into Jesus until he was 30 years old. And John was already standing there so he could see God come in. Now, William Branham was already born so that God could come down and start moving more and more in his church in 1933. Now, why was William Branham here? To get the bride ready. Now, how's he going to get the bride ready? Well, William Branham could no more do it than nothing, any more than John could. God does it through the prophet, but he gives the prophet credit. So William Branham said, I've been called to dress a bride. Say, Brother Branham, how and what means? And he said, the sword, the word of the Lord. And he said, I don't speak what I think I want to speak. I only speak what he says. So, all right, we're looking at the picture. Now, 145. And the only way you can get ready. Now notice he throws it in the negative. Never, 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 never say, I belong to something. Oh, I belong. He said to the assemblies, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, I belong to the oneness, two-ness, whatever, three-ness. I belong to the church of God. Doesn't mean a thing. Oh, but it does. Our father shouted and danced. Oh, he said, that's all right. That was their day. But I'm not shouting and dancing. See, why's not my day? Yeah. You know, there's a song written years ago, these shoes are made for dancing, dancing. Catchy little tune. That's yesterday. That tune came out, I think, before Brother Branham came on the scene. Can anybody remember? I think it was before 1946 when he came on the scene. So don't get little catchy things going for you. They're all made by the world. All right for their day. That was their day. But today, you're confronted not with organizations that they made, but with the light that's going on that left their organization that was responsible for whatever they had that was right in the beginning. It's gone on. Which is Jesus Christ. In other words, eternal life doesn't come by sensation. It cannot come by organizations. It comes by Jesus Christ himself. And the question is, where is he? It's in the Word. Jesus himself did not take credit for being the instrumentality and fountain of truth and life, spirit and truth. He said, the words that I speak, and they are spirit, and they are life. They are truth, they are spirit. Go over here in John 6th chapter. This young man had done the same thing. What did he do? He'd done the same thing, turned it down, looked to organization, quoted the organization. Moses wrote those commandments. But you see, the same God that wrote the commandment by his prophet was the same one that prophesied the day would come I'll raise up a prophet like an unto me. It'll come to pass that all those that don't hear him will be cut off back in the denominational shucks and tassels. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Were the denominations and organizations as we know them in Israel? Yes, there were Sadducees, Pharisees, Essenes, and so on. But he's referring to our hour. Because this message is relevant to the men that he's talking to that said, we are now leading the world back to God. We are the ones that's going to convert the world to Jesus Christ. We are going to bring him back. And we're going to bring him back through tongues and interpretation and gifts, which we consider to be the baptism with the Holy Ghost. We are it. We are going doing it. And Brother Branham said, you can be baptized with the Holy Ghost your way. We'll read it 1,000 times a day and you still miss it. Well, you say, that's sour grapes. I don't believe that for 1 minute. It'll come to pass that all those that don't hear him be cut off back in the domination of shucks and tassels. That's in Acts, the 3rd chapter. That's not in the Old Testament. But it comes from the Old Testament. Malachi. They must go on to light. Why? Because in there is death. They simply don't believe that they're daughters of the harlot. They don't believe they're daughters of the tribulation and the second death. They don't believe it. They can't receive it. And if they don't believe it and can't receive it, they can't do anything about it. So what will they do? They'll do what they're doing. And they'll keep doing it. When destruction comes. When disaster comes, they'll be doing it. Even Billy Graham said they'll still be going to the altar thinking they're getting born again and full of the Holy Ghost, no dice. And Brother Branham said that's true. They must go on to life. And today don't say I'm Pentecostal, I'm this, I'm that. Doesn't mean anything. You've got to accept the person of Christ, eternal life, and a person of Christ. Eternal life confronts every one of us. They've got wrong punctuation there. Don't forget that. Now skip the next paragraph. That life is present tonight. What life? The person of Christ, eternal life, is present tonight. I say, well, we knew that all the time. Hallelujah. Yeah. What's this about the presence? He's always been here. Come on. This guy's an idiot, William Branham. Little two-bit jerk. Puffed up because he had some miracles. Can you believe that? Can you believe in a God of integrity? Who says, my word can't lie. I can't change. Well, I've determined to fool you down there in the earth. How many did he fool? They're leaving this message like droves. And they're coming in being fooled by their preachers. I don't want to be hard on anybody and try to make myself look good. Forget it. Now the same life that was in Jesus that young man rejected, the business people, the world, the church organization, as epitomized in one man, turned it down. So you epitomizing all these groups, you're turning it down. Now listen, the young man loved Jesus. He said, you're the greatest. Oh, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And you know what Jesus did? He made a big mistake. He should have said, son, you're doing great. Always look for the good examples. Always look for fruit and character. Look at the people that are different. Watch how they move. Yeah. Yeah. And he just said, hey, man, I can take that back home to my wife and kids. I can live with that. Jesus killed him when he spoke. I'm going to tell you right now, you know what that young man did? Paul the Apostle said, run this race like a marathon runner. The marathon runner runs naked. They don't allow it anymore. But the point is, if you had clothes on you, maybe a pound of them, it weighed you down that much more, so they ran naked. He really did. And Paul the Apostle said, run naked without encumbrance. See? And he was a marathon runner, and he went for the gold. Yeah. Like Tonya Harding. You beat your opponent out by getting thugs. Like the Canadian. You take drugs to make you run faster. They went for the gold. Those same men, Brother Branham, knew there was a gusher coming in Kentucky. And he told them where it was. And I can name you all the names, some of them at least. And they got Bank Woods to invest $23,000. When the contract was written, Bank's paper wasn't worth a nickel had they got a nickel. And they went for the gold. Black gold. Hillbillies from Hollywood bubbling up gold. Yeah. And God moved the oil. Oil's a type of the Holy Ghost. When the saints go marching in with their pockets lined with tin, ain't going in. Got the wrong gold, got the wrong tin. I don't feel good about it, it's the truth. I don't feel good about it. In fact, the church age, I left a little part out that Brother Branham endorsed because he didn't think it was too tough, and I did. I said, Bill, I should leave it out. He said, what's the matter, Lee? I said, Bill, it's the truth, but look at... I don't think we should hit him that hard. Well, he said, maybe you're right, we shouldn't, but it's still the truth. And I put it just like I'm putting it here. He knew what they were. They went for the gold. Gold. The head of gold. The apex of demonology and false worship epitomized in Nebuchadnezzar, who knew there was a true God. But he went for the gold. The same heads come all the way down to the feet. Where even iron and clay mix, which can't possibly be true, chemically impossible, but it's mixed. And that same head has gone for the gold in the Pope's toes. Rome, democracy altogether. Three major monotheistic religions coming together before the end of the 20th century. That life, that same one is present tonight. That's right. The Holy Spirit is here, which is Christ, which is Messiah, God in spirit form, His Spirit. The anointing is here. He said, it's upon me now to bring it forth. Pillar of fire standing up inside of me telling me what to tell you. Now let's read in between. Let me read it again. You've got to accept the person of Christ. Eternal life confronts every one of us. Christ, the person of eternal life, confronts any of us ever. Don't forget that. There are the leaders, you see, that have such a hold over the people. They get the people saying, well, we belong to this and we belong to this. Had such a hold on that poor young fella. And what a fatal thing to reject the leadership of eternal life. He's telling you, second death is here. And you're taking second death. Huh? God knows it's the truth. It's the fourth church age under Rome. Jezebel and the whole bunch. And they went there. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. He's here, so I love Him. He's here, so I love Him. He's here, and I love Him. He's done so much for me. How can you help but love Him, brother, sister? That's true love. That's true worship, to come by the words, get all melted down, purified before him. To let the word clean out every layer of unbelief and dress us in his garments and his robes. And to know how he did it and for whom he did it. And to be a part. May God bless us all the way, because he will. There's no doubt of it now. When we get back, likely Wednesday, if I don't feel too horrible, rotten, what have you, we'll just go right on where we started, right here, and we're going to talk about person. We're going to talk about person. Let's rise and be dismissed. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the creeds and tenets I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever he's the Word, my Jesus is now hiding in thee. Take the name of Jesus with you as soon as we pray. Heavenly Father, we sing from our hearts the truth, Lord, not hoping that it's emotion, not simply moved upon, Lord, but by living reality of a living word within us. Sealed, O God, by the Holy Ghost under the day of Pentecost, by the baptism, and now by the baptism, baptized, you're sealed right into the bride and going on, Lord. We pray the full promises of God, whatever it's upon people's heart today, according to the word in this hour, will be truly manifested in and through them and for them, be it personal desire, but above all, Lord, a desire to serve you and be like you as never before. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory. May it manifest through our lives somehow, some way, we plead. In Jesus' name, amen. Take the name of Jesus.